Today we're going to be studying two parts. One is actually two parts to this week and next week. We're going to look at actually looking for answers from the Bible. Okay, practically looking for answers from the Bible. Okay, so we want to be able to look through the Bible specifically in terms of what God says about searching for answers. One, number two is actually practicing some of the steps that we've enumerated there, so that personally we actually have not only the knowledge, but hopefully the skill and opportunity to search the scriptures for ourselves, okay? So, let's begin with a word of prayer first, before we start. Let's have a word of prayer, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing, Lord, that this is a time that we can learn. You have set aside this time, Sunday Bible Hour, Lord, on a weekly basis, that we can come, understand your word, and be able to apply it to our lives. Father, we know that your word is a lamp and a light to our path. We pray that every one of us, Lord, not only have just a knowledge, awareness and knowledge, but also have the ability, Lord, enabled by your Holy Spirit, to understand. We pray that you will help us to draw closer to you as we learn to seek your word and seek your will, and then seek your ways, Lord, in our lives. We pray for the Sunday school upstairs. We thank you for the big crowd of children. We pray every single one, some of them our church families, children, some of us, some of them the neighborhood children, all of them have one need, and that's Christ. And I pray that through the Sunday school teachers, the love and the word of God is taught, that these children will grow up strong, Lord, to be useful to you, and so useful, Lord, to the local church, the family, and ultimately, Lord, to this society that desperately needs, Lord, the love, the holiness of Christ in their lives. So speak to us, use this opportunity that you've given, help us use this opportunity given to us to learn of your word. And I pray, Lord, every one of us, beginning from the teenagers all the way up, will develop in themselves, Lord, a skill that they will be able to seek your will for themselves through these sessions. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the first verse right there. I think all you have the notes in John chapter 5, verse 39. Okay, we'll just go through two verses, then we have a little exercise. Okay, okay. Let's read John 5, 39 together. Ready? One, two, begin. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye... And they are they which testify of me. Okay, in this particular verse, Jesus actually encouraged or admonished the group of people there to search. The word search has the idea of to inquire, to seek out, to investigate. And I was literally take a magnifying glass and go and seek out. Okay, seek out what? The Bible says, Jesus says, search the scriptures. Search the Bible. Okay? Because for in them ye think. I used to think that when Jesus says ye think means you're still unsure. But actually the word think there has the idea of knowing, considering. And after you have investigated, you can come to a conclusion. Okay? That ye think ye have eternal life. Basically, Jesus says, search the Bible, because within them you can actually conclude that you have everlasting life. And this is a verse that tells us that the entire Bible actually points to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Because the Bible says, and they are they, referring to the Bible, which testify of me, give evidences that they are talking about Jesus Christ. Okay? Any questions there? So Jesus actually admonished us to search the scriptures. Okay, number one. Number two, in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, it shall be, let's read together, ready? One, two, go. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in the book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites, and it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Okay, question for you. Who is this he that Moses is talking about? Anyone? Who is this he that Moses is talking about? Huh? Who is this he? Anyone has an idea that in... Huh? I heard some... Sorry? The Lord Jesus, okay. It's possible. Alright? However, it talks about someone else. Actually, someone else. In Deuteronomy 17, it's interesting. This he refers to the king of Israel, the future kings of Israel. And an interesting point is that there is no king at this time. And the king will only come a few hundred years later. But God actually told Moses to tell the children of Israel that I know you guys are going to want a king, okay? And from Moses' time to Joshua's time to the judges' time to Samuel's time, and then the kings came. All right, that's about 1020 BC. It's about 200-300 years, and God says that at the time when you will have a king, I expect this king to know my law. All right, this he referring to the king, when the king sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in the book of that which is before the priests and the Levites, and it shall be with the king, and this king shall read therein all the days of his life, that this king may learn to fear God and to keep his words and his statutes to do them. Okay, does that make sense? So God, before even the kingdoms of Israel, or rather the kingship of Israel, is established, who's the first king? King Saul. Okay, King Saul is the first king. God actually, a few hundred years before, told the children of Israel, I expect the king that you are going to want to have. Actually, God didn't want a nation of Israel to want a king. God wanted to rule over them so that he can give them his best. But the people said, no, we want to be like all the world. We want to like the kingdoms of this world. So give us a king. It's like, okay, I'll give you a king. But God says, I expect the king to know my law. So God was very clear. It is a non-negotiable fact, non-negotiable point, that every king of Israel must know the law. And why to know the law? So that the king may learn to fear God and to keep his words and to do his words. Okay, this is it's mandatory for the kings of Israel when they shall appoint a king to ensure that a copy of Moses' law is given to them, that the kings will know them. Okay? Because the king depend on the wisdom of God to rule the nation of Israel. Okay? So, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, there's one more verse there. Let's read together this last one. Ready? One, two, go. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. If you read Acts 17, you realize Paul was referring to a group of people that when he preached, they searched the scriptures. So even as an apostle, he was very encouraged by these people. Of course, the book of Acts was written by Luke. All right, and Luke actually recorded that even when the apostles came and preached, they searched the scriptures to see whether or not this part. We thank God for the word, but it's what he's saying based on what God is saying. All right, and he was searching the scriptures. And the Bible says they were more noble. In other words, they were from a different class. Class of, not so much class of position in life, but they were noble in the eyes of God. That they actually look at the Bible to make sure it was actually correct based on God's word. Okay? For those who just came in, we are beginning this week, first week of two parts, how to search the scriptures, okay, for answers. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to pass you slips of paper. And I'd like you to write down in the piece of paper any questions you have about your life, about anything, okay? Any questions at all. Okay? Any questions at all about your life, about what has been troubling you, about, I don't know how to do my finances. Be very specific. Don't say, I was wondering about life, but what about life that you want to find an answer to, all right? I want you to write within there a question that you have that you need an answer to. Any question about, I have this problem, I'm concerned about my future, I'm concerned about my past, I'm concerned about now, I'm concerned about whatever, okay? Please don't give maths questions and science questions all this, okay? I'm talking about life questions. Life questions. Questions that when you go to bed at night, you're just wondering, Lord, how am I going to deal with this? Write it down specifically. Don't have to put your name, okay? And after you have written down, I'd like to collect this because we want to use it for next week when we actually go through the scriptures and find out those answers, all right? Ken, I'll give you 3 minutes. Is that too long? Or you need a whole hour? It's too short. Oh dear. Okay. You can have 2 questions, 3 questions. You can email me later if you like. More paper. Okay. Maybe 2 or 3 questions at this point. Okay. Because even if you're a visitor, just feel free to write it down. Okay. Because the key today is to be able to be very, whatever you're concerned about, just write it down so that we can have clear questions and we can find Bible answers to. Okay. So we have 3 minutes. And after we'll go through the scriptures about different things. Okay? Any questions? It could be anything. Any questions at all? Okay? It could even be, should I, whatever, live in Timbuktu or something like that? Any kind of question. Should I take this job? Should I call this person? Should I, whatever. Alright, any questions at all? Just write it down. How should I find my future spouse? Okay. Some answers will need longer than others, but just write down any questions. How should I deal with this situation? My boss is absolutely crazy or something like that. And I want to do this. Okay? Give a bit more information so that otherwise we need to make some assumptions. Okay? How can I make a baby sleep? You know, that one, there will be Bible answers to that. God has answers for everything, so we just have to kind of make sure that the questions are useful. Okay? Okay? Don't talk too much. Okay, we'll keep silent for 2 minutes, write down, and then I'll pass this one around and put it in. Okay? Then after we'll collect it, and then next week we'll use it. Don't have to put your names. Okay? Try to write in capitals all so that no one can identify your writing or whatever. It's okay. Any questions, okay? Other questions, I don't know who you are. I'm just going to look at the questions. Okay? 2 minutes. Even if it's Bible questions, okay? What happens when I die? Where do my soul go? That kind of thing. Feel free to just write it in. Okay? Any questions? You got 1.5 minutes more. Are all religions the same? Why are there so many religions? Why are there so many denominations, etc.? Whatever, you just put it in. Okay? Those already, just look up so I can... maybe I can get Ethan. Maybe, have you written your questions? Or maybe after you finish, can you help me to just... You finish that, finish your question first. Yeah. Then after that, you just kind of collect it, okay? Yeah. You write down your questions first. Have you written? Okay, those who are finished, just look up. Then I just direct Ethan to go wherever. Any questions, Any questions at all? It could be personal, it could be just general, it could be about the world, etc. Well, your relationships, it could be about your work, it could be about a decision you have to make. How do you find God's answers? Again, if you're ready, just look up so at least I can over this side, some there have finished. Just find a place. Yep. Feels quite good too. Do you have spare paper? The dead, that's okay. Any spare paper? Yeah. Okay. Okay, for those who just come in, we're just writing any questions you have about life, about friendship, about anything in this world, feel free to write down your question there. Okay? And then after that, Ethan will come about to collect the questions. Okay? Any questions? Okay, Sister Agnes is done. Boys will be boys. Okay. Any questions? Any questions at all? You write down any questions you have? Anyone else? Okay, we'll just take about a minute more. Okay, if you're still struggling with the questions, you can still write it in the midst of this Sunday school. At the end, Ethan will just do one final round at the end to collect it. Anyone else? Just put out your hand. Ask Ethan to come. Can you write down your questions? Just put out your hand, then Ethan can help to just put in. We just put it here first. After that. Okay, I'll just wait here first. Okay, after that, towards the end, before we pray, I'll just ask Ethan one more round to actually feel free to write down any questions you have. The goal of these two sessions is to be able to find the scriptures, go through the Bible, how to actually find answers, okay, to our questions. Okay, now before we actually go in detail, I want to show you from the scriptures that it is actually a biblical responsibility of every Christian to find the answers from the Bible. Okay, so I'm going to get you to into seven groups. Okay, maybe yourself and yourself is one group. You turn to John 17:17. Okay, in your notes, the group behind with Timothy and the three ladies in front. Psalm 119 verse 105. With Jaira and how? Okay, maybe Jaira also join Timothy lah. Okay, then Allison to this whole group here lah. Okay, Luke 4 verse 4. Okay, then you can ask later, and maybe the second row there, you take Matthew 7 verse 24 to 27. Okay, and then after Brad DeLong's row, if you can take John 5:39. Okay, and after that Brad Denzer and maybe Mr. T, two of you, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, and Sister Shaoling and the back. All right, you take 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17. Okay, then you fill in the blanks, you shout the answers later. Okay, you discuss first. Okay, you discuss first. Take about a minute, look at the verse, and then you discuss what should be the correct answer to fill in, then you can share. Okay, I'm sure you have some answers. Okay, I also can help out as we go. Okay, Brother Mark's family, the first answer in John 17:17. What's the first answer? God's word is the truth. Okay, John 17:17. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? So God's word is truth. We want to search the Bible for answers because God's word is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Okay, no more, no less. Okay, so the first one is God's word is truth. In Psalm 119 verse 105, the second question. Brother Timothy and Brother Jaira and the ladies. Okay, God's word is the light. Okay, for us to walk in this life. God's word is the light for us to walk. We need to see God's word from a spiritual perspective. God's word is the light. And this is a very important principle for the Christian life. If we don't see God's word as a light, we will walk in darkness. Okay? The next one, Luke 4 verse 4. We are to live by every word of God. Luke 4 verse 4 says, and Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The foundation of our lives and our every action must be God's word. Okay? Alright? Without any discrimination. Okay? Point number four. God gives what for life? Matthew 7 verse 24 to 27. Sorry? A strong foundation. Okay? I have here, it gives stability. Strong foundation is also okay. God's word gives a strong foundation for life. When we obey God's word, we're obeying principles that will govern our lives. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay? Point number five, John 5:39. Okay, it's God's will, it's God's instruction, it's God's commandment to search. God actually says search the scriptures. Jesus instructs us to search the scriptures. We are to find, investigate, look at the Bible to see what it says about life, about our situations, okay? In John 5:39, correct. Question 6. Cannot be known, okay? Cannot be trusted. Sometimes we think we know the answers, many times we don't. That's why God says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, but more than anything, God says, If you read verse 10 in Jeremiah 17:10, God says, I am the Lord who search your hearts. Because man's heart is so deceitful, we think we are right. Many times we need each other to help. But more than anything, we need God's word to be the final authority in our decisions. Okay? So, and I have in my well, man's heart is deceitful and therefore cannot be trusted. Okay, when we say, I know I'm right. Oh yeah? Let's take a look again. Alright? Number 7, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. God's word is profitable for? Huh? Instruction? Then the man, okay. God's word is profitable for change. Change. It's interesting, I heard the evangelist teach this before. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, teaching us what is right, for correction, teaching us what is wrong, for reproof, teaching us what is wrong, then for correction, teaching us how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness, teaching us how to stay right. Okay, so that we can be thoroughly furnished, we can truly be furnished from the inside, how we can serve God, okay? If you ever want to change, the Word of God is a change. That's why I'm very clear. Fellowship is not going to change you. Fellowship can encourage you. Fellowship can motivate you. But fellowship cannot change you. Only God's Word can change. The Bible is very, very clear. Alright? So, but you know what? We need to come together to encourage one another so that we want to study God's Word more. We want to do what God wants us to do. Alright? So I just give you 7 points. I'm sure there are many other reasons why we need to search the scriptures, especially as Christians who claim we believe in God and are Bible believers. Okay? So there are Bible examples of people who sought the Lord for answers. I just give you a whole list. In King David, you'll find that every verse there, we don't have to go through there, but you can read through yourself. King David, in every situation, he will ask, the Bible says, and David sought the Lord. Should I go against this king? Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? He actually consulted with God. Okay? She actually consulted with God. King Hezekiah. Let's turn to Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37. This is a wonderful passage of King Hezekiah under a stressful, threatening situation. He's the king of Israel, king of Judah. Assyria has just conquered Israel and is moving towards Jerusalem. And he's threatening to overcome Judah. King Hezekiah has a crisis. Okay? And in Isaiah 37, in Isaiah 37, I just read and then I just going to highlight a few points. King Rabshakeh, which is a general, is coming. He said, who is this God is going to save you? Huh? All the kingdoms that we have gone through, we have wiped them out. Who is this God is going to save you? Okay? And they were threatening. One of the situations was this. The general told the people, don't let King Hezekiah deceive you that your God is going to save you. Which of the gods have been able to stand against us? So there was a lot of threat. And the whole kingdom of Judah was under threat of being conquered. And the Assyrian army is better hardened. They are like the Japanese army. They came down. Nothing can stand in their way. They are very strong. They are very cruel. Okay, it's been known. They have taken babies and smashed them against the wall. They have taken pregnant ladies and cut them out, take their babies out, and gouged out people's eyes. And they are very, very cruel. And so they are coming against Judah and threatening the existence of Judah at that time. King Hezekiah, the king, you know what Singapore will do? Call our special forces, you know, all the things we need to. But you know what King Hezekiah did? Let's look at 37 verse 1. Number one, what he did was, it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes. Tearing of clothing in Jewish times is a symbol of distress and humility. Distress and humility. The God, I can't do anything. He tore his clothes, he rent his clothes, and covered himself with sackcloth. Indication of humility. And what did he do? He went into the presence of God. You know, when we are distressed about certain situations, we don't go and talk to people, we talk to God. Amen? When we're not too sure what's happening, we talk to God. Of course, we can pray with another person specifically, but you know what? We talk to God. He prepared his heart by humility. He went into God's presence. And then in verse 2, He sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. He prepared his heart, he went to God's presence, and then in verse 2, he asked the people in charge of his household, go look for the man of God. I need answers. The king didn't assume he knew the answer. He should know the answer, but he needed the man of God to come and tell him. And he was open to counsel. According to verse 3, verse 4, and they say unto him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, a day of rebuke, of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. Verse 4, it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, when the king of Assyria, his master, is sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the people from Hezekiah went to Isaiah, pleaded with him, please pray, because Assyria have destroyed many of these people. We need your help. We need God to come in and tell us what we have to do. And of course, in verse 6, after they pleaded with Isaiah, Isaiah said, thus shall we say unto your master, thus saith the Lord. They were able to share. Isaiah then spoke to these servants that came. This is what God says. And they had answers from God. Okay? And guess what? In verse 6, number 1, God spoke, be not afraid of the words thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king Assyria has blasphemed me. God spoke. Verse 7, God promised, behold, I will send a blast unto him, and he shall kill a rumor, and to return his own land, I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. If you see in verse 6 and 7, number 1, as Hezekiah humbled himself, he looked for counsel, he looked for the word of God, the prophet of God spoke, and said, God spoke. This is what I say, I've heard, and I promise you, I'm going to come, and I'm going to destroy these enemies. Okay? And if you look at the entire story later on, of course, King Hezekiah received an answer. In fact, King Hezekiah did instruct the people, don't reply to your enemies. We'll wait for God to answer. And many times when you look at situations, it's very important. When you're looking for answers from God, sometimes it's important not to try to do anything. We need to wait for God to answer. We need to be patient. We need to wait on God. All right? Then we can be sure of God's answer. Okay? So, for those who just came in, we're looking at how we search the Bible for answers. Okay? So now, any questions? So I just wanted to give you an idea that in the Old Testament, it's interesting, I was doing a search. In the Old Testament, I was looking for the word, they sought God, they seek after God. But in the New Testament, you find there's not many passages. I was wondering why. You know why? In the Old Testament, many times the Bible says David sought the Lord. Nehemiah prayed to God. Isaiah sought the Lord. And all the prophets of old sought the Lord. And God actually spoke to them audibly. Not in the New Testament. Do you know why? It dawned on me that God has given us his answers here. And you will not find the apostles say, seek the Lord. But apostles will say, study the word. Does that make sense? This is so, so important. In this day and age whereby people say, wait, I'm waiting for God to speak to me. God doesn't do that anymore today. Because he has given his word, translated in over 4,000 languages. We have no excuse. Those who can read can know God's word. Does that make sense? God gives the answers to life. That's why it's so important for us to search the scriptures. Any questions? It's so important for us. Because every answer to life, if you just follow it, you can actually find the answers. Okay? So any questions? Okay, let's move on, alright? So how do we search the Bible for answers? Today we'll look at the preparation and the practical steps. Next week, we actually practically look at some questions that some of you have written, okay? And then hopefully, we'll be able to go through together, alright? I will do maybe one or two first, and then after collectively, we'll put a question out there, and then we'll collectively follow the steps, and then how we're going to look at the Bible and how to find the answers, okay? How do we find the Bible for answers? Number one, the preparation, we begin by faith. It has to start by faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that cometh to God must believe that he is in existence. Must believe that he is. Hebrews 11 verse 6. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Okay, of course, I diligently seek him. Okay, we must start by faith. If you're a Christian here, we need to start by faith. We need to believe that God has the answer. Now, some Christians, they don't even seek God. You know why? They don't think God has the answer. Okay, or rather, maybe they have never come to the life practice of reading the Bible to search God for answers. God has every answer to life. Okay, James chapter 1 verse 5. Is it there? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How many of you can tell me what does verse 6 say? Who has opened the Bible? Can you read verse 6? But that's my youth. Are you there? Verse 6. Okay. But you know what verse 6 says? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the sea tossed about. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Does that make sense? So when you come to the... When we are... I need the answer for my life. But I don't know whether God has the answer or not. You're not going to find the answer. You're going to find answers in other things. You know what we do? We will try to grab what helps. But you know what? Grabbing what helps may not be the thing that helps. It may help temporarily, but it's not going to help permanently. Okay, so number one, we need to begin by faith, number one. Number two, in the scriptures, God says, if you want to find him, we need to seek him with all our hearts. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your hearts. Okay, Psalm 119 verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You realize there are more than 20 verses in the Old Testament that says that people sought God with all their hearts. And God says, I will be found of those who seek me with all their hearts. Okay? You know why it must be all their hearts? Because if you're double-minded, you can't do a good job. You can't seek God. And God knows our hearts. We need to come to God with all our hearts. We seek God all our hearts. And then the next point, as we begin by faith, we seek God with all our hearts, we need to be prepared to obey him. Have you ever spoken to people who come to you for answers? But you know, they are just wanting some input. They're not prepared to listen to you. Do you know what I mean? Those people who come to you, but actually, I have one friend many, many years ago, and he was saying, hey, Johnny, I need to sit down with you and ask you some questions. So when I gave him some advice for God's word, and at the end of the time, I realized that he was just wanting me to endorse his decision rather than asking for counsel. Okay? When we come to God like that, God, please sign on the dotted line. You know, we've drawn out all the contract already. And God, please sign on the dotted line. God doesn't work that way. God says, you've already decided. I can't do anything anymore. Okay? And many times, reverently speaking, God may not sign on the dotted line. Because there's a passage in Scripture who says that God can actually allow you to go your way. And we think that God has blessed us. But you know what? It's God's. It's just like, I use this all the time. One of my child, when they were young, I told him not to touch the durian. You know durian? Right? 3 years old. He said, don't touch the durian. It's going to hurt you. He went to touch the durian. Actually, before that, I said, you want to touch? You touch, huh? Now, did I want him to touch? No, because it hurt him. I said, if you want to touch, you go ahead. I was not approving of his touch, but I gave him that free will. He touched him. He never touched durian ever again after that. And at least he learned a lesson. But you know what? Sometimes as Christians, when we actually make the wrong decisions, rather than saying, oh, I blew it, we actually blame. Okay, we need to come back to seek the Lord and say, God, I blew it. I need you to teach me. Okay, to prepare my heart to obey you. Ezra 7 verse 10. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Okay, this is so important. We must prepare our hearts to obey because, of course, the next point we ensure that we are obedient to the Lord. in our lives. I say that again. It's very important. As much as I prepare my heart to obey, sometimes we obey because we have no choice. If I don't obey, I die. That kind of thinking. But point four talks about we must ensure that we have been obedient to the Lord in the daily small ways that we have to actually be consistent in our lives, okay? Why do I say that? In 1 Samuel 28, verse 6, I think the verse is there. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, see, King Saul also sought the Lord, but you know what? The Lord answered him not. Wow. I thought when we seek God, God will definitely answer us. Not so in King Saul's life. Okay? That is in 1 Samuel 28, verse 6. When Saul sought the Lord didn't answer him, neither by dreams, neither by Urim, nor by prophets. Okay? In the olden days, in the Old Testament, God answers by dreams. He answers by actually showing a vision. And answered by the prophets. Do you know what's a Urim and a Thummim? Do you know what's a Urim and Thummim? Okay. For the Chinese culture, you know we have the two half moons? The two half moons? You know, two half moons? When you go to the temple, they throw the two half moons. Papui. I also don't know. Remember? Okay. According to some of the scholars, they believe that this is probably the Urim and the Thummim, whereby the priest in the temple would actually use to discern the will of God. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Okay, so the Urim and the Thummim, but God says God didn't answer them. Didn't answer Saul. Why did God not answer Saul? This is in 1 Samuel 28. Because in 1 Samuel 15, Saul demonstrated his disobedience to God. And God says, your kingdom is taken from you. And God says, from then on, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Okay? It is so crucial for us to have a daily obedience to the Lord, whereby we actually follow God every time. Okay? Yesterday, the youth were learning about how to please God. And the last point, anyone can remember the last point? There must be diligent focus, okay? And I was talking to him, Brother Jacob, as we went back, and the principle was that in order to please God, our faith must be a daily faith that focuses on obedience to God on a daily basis. We must be diligently following God. And as he was teaching, one example came to my mind. There was one man who needed God at a crucial time, but God was not there. He was a judge. Do you know his name? Samson. Samson, through his life, Samson was a Nazarite, okay? I mean, just the background. He had three things as a Nazarite he needs to do. What's the three things? He must not cut his hair, he must not touch a dead body, and he must not drink alcohol. Okay, these are three things, okay? The first thing that Samson broke was he drank alcohol. Strike one. God was still with him. And later on, he touched a dead lion. Strike two. God was still with him. But when he told Delilah his secret to his strength, that was strike three. What happened after that? What happened immediately after he cut his hair? What did Delilah say? The Philistines are upon you, remember? So the Philistines came. And of course, Samson said, no problem, man. God was still with me. Wait. Bolat already. No strength already. Why? Because there wasn't a consistent walk to the point that even when God left him, he didn't know. He didn't know. Okay? That is actually a very important background principle for us as believers to know that God sometimes chooses not to answer because it may be a reflection on what he thought of our lives. Okay? But the encouragement for us is keep our heart in the state of obedience. Keep our heart in the state of obedience. You know, I'm very impressed by the soldiers from Israel, from different countries, you know. Those regular soldiers, they're all hunky. You know they are soldiers because of their muscles. If I tell you I'm a soldier, would you believe me? Why you laugh if I say you? M-O. Storeman. Okay, but you know what? If you look at the aide de corps, you know those people who protect the president and all that, those guys are fit. Those guys don't take lunch. They go jogging at lunchtime. The kind of people. You know? Why do you need to keep yourself fit? for their duty. Okay? You know, similarly for Christians, when we want answers from God, can we actually logically say, God, I need an answer now, and God will give you the answer. And we need to keep our heart in a constant state of readiness in obedience to God so that God can speak to us. Okay? So these are the things we need to take note of. 2 Chronicles 17:3-4, let me just read. The Lord will hear Jehoshaphat, another godly king, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers and walked his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So King Jehoshaphat was consistent in his daily walk with God. He followed the ways of God, his father, or rather Father David, and he was separated from the world. He didn't follow the ways of the world. And the Bible says God was with him. Okay? You know what? It's in the same way. Now let me just qualify. In the New Testament, God is with us all the time. But sometimes God, like a loving father, says, I can't answer that because of this area. I need you to get right. Does that make sense? And that's where when he convicts us, we need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I need to follow you. Then God comes back in again. All right? Practical steps. How do we search God's word? Number one, I'll just go through very quickly. Have the tools. Okay? These are very practical steps. Have the tools. The King James Bible, a note, writing material, Bible program to help you get answers quickly. I've gone through it last year, I think 2 years before, using the SWOT searcher and different Bible programs whereby you can quickly access different verses on a particular topic. Okay? And what are the steps? Number one, you need to set time. You need to set time. If you want to seek the Lord, you need to set time. You want to find answers from God, you need to set time. It's very hard to talk to a jogger. It's very hard to, even if God wants to speak to you and you're rushing through life, it's very hard. You need to set a time. You need to set time for your quiet time, you know, your devotional time. That's why it's so important to spend time with God. Okay, it's a sad thing in America. I think what the Barna Research, you know, Barna Group, okay, a research, I said that many Christians, close to 70% or 80%, don't read their Bibles on a daily basis. Now that's scary, because how in the world are we going to get answers from God if we don't even read the Bible? We don't even know what is the manual for life. Okay? If you're like me, if you buy a new TV, you just put a TV on and press the remote control, right? When it doesn't work, then you go and find the answer, right? Yeah. Whereas in life, we need to be able to know the manual for life, understand it, and then use it. And then it will avoid a lot of the problems in life. Okay, you need to set time when you want to search Bible one, number one. Number two, you need to frame the question. Okay, just go through first, after you go through one by one. Okay, you set the time, frame the question, search the scriptures, ask God for you to understand the verses in the context of the Bible. Okay, under that, consult others, then form a conclusion, and on the conclusion, then you will form a conviction. Very quickly, frame the question. What does it mean? There are two types of questions, general questions and specific questions. Okay? Frame the questions. It could be that you're in a situation. That one situation that I had to deal with was, should I, as pastor, go to work? I came to a time there was some stress in my family. I need to consider, because I'm a full-time supporter, but you know, it's not enough. Children are growing. So, Lord, should I go to work? You know, I spent 9 months looking for the Lord's will until God spoke to me through the word, not like in audible voice, but it was in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when I found out Paul worked night and day in a secular job to support himself so that he can continue serving God. And that was the encouragement God gave to me. It's okay, go. All right, as long as my work doesn't affect the ministry of Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, after seeking the Lord, I was able to do that. So my question was, should I, in full time, go to work in a secular job to support my family? Okay, because some people say, oh, you need to live by faith, you know? Yeah, but my faith is not so big. So God does give provisions, you know? In the Bible, it's very clear. There was clear biblical injunction. God, I believe that up to now, I'm still working part-time. Okay, and I believe that God is still blessing us. And so there's something that I need to review from time to time. Other general questions is, what kind of friend should I hang out with? Okay, you need to ask questions of life. Okay, whom should I marry? How should my free time be used? How should money be used? Okay, if I ask you today, what are the Bible principles for money? How do you use your money? Does anyone know? How do you use your money? Does the Bible say? The three purposes of money. One is to support the work of God. The Bible's very clear. 1 Corinthians 9. To support work. Number two, support your family. 1 Timothy 5:8. If you don't take care of your family, you're worse than a non-believer. Okay? And number three, give to the poor, those who are needy. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Alright, those are the Bible verses that target how we give our possessions. Alright? Can do money. Okay? Is there anything extra? You can think of what you want to do. Go on holiday, whatever. Alright? But these three must be met. Okay? But if what I want versus what God wants, in terms of giving to the work, maybe there is a project that requires, say, God, by faith, I'm going to give this to your work. Alright? So there are three purposes of money. You know, then you develop convictions as a Christian as you grow. Okay? How should marriage be handled, etc.? The Bible has very clear examples as well. Specific questions: should I go and work in a place where there is no Bible-believing church? Okay? Especially in this international country that we are in, you go to different places. You know, Singaporeans are sometimes given big incentive to go overseas to work in a place where there's absolutely no one, you know, but the company has a big project that will take 3 years or 5 years, etc. Okay, can I listen to rock music? Can I marry a non-believer as a Christian? Is it okay for me to miss church? When is it okay for me to miss church? Is it the right question? I just had a bonus. How should I spend it to glorify God, etc.? The Bible has answers for all this. It has answers for all this. Okay? Any questions? So frame the question in your life. Okay? For those who came in a bit later, I just got some of the people who came earlier to write questions. Okay? We're going to look at them using this. You need to frame your question very clearly. All right? Like David, when he was discouraged. How many of you remember David's situation with Ziklag? David and the men went to help the Philistines. And then later on, there was a group of people who came back, the Gibeonites, I believe, and destroyed the city and took away their wives and their children. To the point that even the wives, sorry, not wives, even David's men was cursing and swearing David and said, David, it's all your fault. See, all our wives are gone. And David was in that situation stuck. Here I am, come back, all my children gone, the wives are gone, my men are cursing me. What do I do? The first thing he did was he went to God. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And number two, he then spoke to, and he actually framed the question in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Said, Lord, what should I do? And you know what? The next thing he did, went to speak to the man of God. And that's where he got counsel. And he said, can I go? And then chase them and get them back. And God says, go. And God blessed him, of course. But it's so important for us to frame the question. Don't in our hearts, what is it that's in our heart that we want God to answer? Okay? So frame the question. The next one we go in is to search the scriptures. After you have framed the question, search the scriptures. Okay? Search the scriptures. Okay, I just give a just general question. Okay, what kind of friends should I have? All right, there are three verses there, right? Okay? Okay, what kind of friends should I have? Based on some, so after searching the scriptures, there are many ways of searching the scriptures. You can go from verse 1 to the last verse. Okay, you have to go through 120,000 verses. Okay, that's one thing. And that's why computer, there are some search programs on computer that helps. Sometimes you just keyword friends or companions, all the verses will come. It's interesting, you know, because when you actually search those verses, when it comes out, we'll practice it next week, when it comes out, you'll find that the word friends and all that actually gives you some of God's insights into what kind of, into friendship. Okay, example, I think it was Abner. The Bible said, clearly in one of the passages, it says, and Abner had a friend. Or Absalom had a friend. Absalom had a friend. I heard one preacher said this. One verse says, Absalom had a friend. But when you study the friend, it was a corrupted friend who actually caused Absalom to do things that was against his father. You know, from that particular passage, what I learned was I need to be careful of my friends. And we need to be careful of who we mix around with as friends. Okay, so we talk about that as we go. So, as we search the scriptures, okay, another way of getting scriptures is to speak to someone who is more knowledgeable. To ask questions for someone, hey, can you give me some verses on friendships? Or some, so people can give you verses. So once you've gathered that, search it. Answer Psalm 119, verse 63. Okay? I am a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. The word companion has the idea of friendship. I hang out with these people. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, don't bluff yourself. Evil communication has the idea of a perverse lifestyle will corrupt even good manners. So you have the most prim and proper daughter, you have the most diligent son, or you put them in an environment that is absolutely corrupted, before long, you will find that they become like them. That's what the Bible is saying here. That's what it's saying. That's why the whole Corinthian church had problems with the resurrection. Why? Because there are certain people who were teaching them the resurrection is past. There's no more resurrection. And they begin to have a wrong idea. And that's what Paul is saying. Okay? Okay. Can you think of any other verses about friendship? Anyone? Anyone? Any other verses you can think about friendship? Be unequally yoked with non-believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Don't be unequally yoked with talking to non-believers. Alright? Okay, you must be very careful. Alright? In the context, however, it talks a little bit more about more partnerships that you make. But it has to do with companionship as well in some sectors. Any others? Verses? Anyone else? Any other verses that come to your mind? Okay. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 15, that's Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Okay, those are very important verses. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I read on so that the verse actually says, when a friend tells you to your face, you're wrong. It means that he's a friend. But if a friend comes, wow, you handsome, man. Your handwriting very nice, eh? What? Everything about Henry is so good. Bible says you better be careful. Because the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Okay. Wow, your hair. Wow, best hair in the world, man. Jeff. Wow. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Okay. When someone comes to you and just flatters and says nothing wrong about you, you better be careful with your friends. That's what the Bible says. Okay. But you know, a good friend, someone who comes and tells you to your face, you're wrong. Because why? He cares. Does that make sense? You know what God does many times with his children? Well, what did God tell? You remember the rich young ruler who came and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say? Go sell all you have. Give to the poor. And come follow me. You know why? Jesus knew the reason why he's not having eternal life is because of his money. Faithful are the words of a friend. So if you have a friend and say, wow, Joe, man, you very smart, man, very pretty, very handsome, man. Wow, your fashion, wow, latest one. Wow, nice. Wow, I like to hang out with you. But when you get into trouble, you say, hello. You don't get an answer from him. That's what I call fair weather friends. People who, as long as you have the money, as long as you have the looks, as long as you have everything, they hang out with you. Does that make sense? We need to be careful. The Bible actually teaches us how to have friends. To be fair, you know, sometimes we get jealous of people who have, you know, in your Facebook, Twitter, 6 million followers. Right? Do you know in your lifetime, it is said you have no more than 10 of very good friends in your life. No more. A lot of people come and go, they may contribute to your life, but genuine friends will remain. And it is said you won't get more than 10. So stop saying, stop looking at Twitter, wow, jealous, this person has 62 million followers. But you know what? When that person is in trouble, do you think the $62 million people will help? You need to think about that, all right? So when you look at the scriptures here, okay, there are different verses. Greater love and no man than this, that a man give his life for his friend. Okay, so the question we can ask is, do we have Christian friends here who are saying, hey, I'm willing to die for you. Don't talk about dying. Am I willing to give up some time just to help you sacrifice? Okay? So these are the characteristics. Oh, what kind of friends should I hang out with? I should hang out with, according to this passage. Okay, after that is, we have need to have a prayerful understanding of the verses. Don't just study the verses. You need to prayerfully understand it. Okay? It's very important. Biblical study, or rather, a study of the Bible can make you a Bible scholar, but only prayerful study will make you a Christian. When you seek the Lord and say, Lord, what does this verse really mean? When you understand it in the context of what God says, then it begins to change your thinking to become the kind of friend. Okay? The next part is prayerful understanding. Okay? The next one, form a conclusion. This is very important. Now, many people study the Bible, but after that, they don't want to come to a conclusion because they're very scared that they have to act on it. But it's so important. You need to come to a conclusion. So what conclusion can I make of these verses? In Psalm 119, verse 63, just on the question, what kind of friend should I have? I am a companion of them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communicate and corrupt good manners. Okay, so what conclusion can you come from this, take from these three verses? Anyone? What conclusions, after you've understood it, what conclusions can you make in application to your own life? Anyone? 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 Teenagers? Come on, think. Don't look at me blankly. Anyone? What conclusions can you make from these verses?
Make friends with those brethren who truly fear the Lord and follow His commandments.
Okay, so, The counsel from God is to hang out with people who fear God and give His word. Okay, this is what I have, point number two. Okay, the counsel from God is, because the Bible says here what? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's what the Bible says. And in Psalm 119, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee, of them that keep thy precepts. That's God's counsel. So I need to hang out with people who fear God. Hang out with people who obey God's word. And the Bible is very clear. It's not just hang out with Christians. Because some Christians don't fear God. Some Christians don't. We need to be able to identify, this is a brother, this is a sister that fears God, and I can see from their life that they want to move towards God. I need to stay with them. Because when I stay with them, I become like them. Because that's what God says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. Okay? Any other conclusions that you can make from this verse? On this side? On this side, this side. Anyone? Any conclusions you can make from this verse? Okay, I'll give you a conclusion. We'll work on it a bit next week, alright? Okay, there's two conclusions I made. Firstly, God warns that I must be careful of the type of friends I have. Because I hang out with the wrong crowd, I become like them. Okay? Two reasons. Number one, I can be affected by the type of friends I have. If I mix with wise friends, I can become wise. If I mix with worldly friends, I become worldly. Okay? And another point is, being careful of the type of friends is, my life can become corrupted by the friends I mix with. Because the Bible says, evil communication corrupts good manners. Can you see the application? Can you see the application? It's very simple. It's just, evil communication corrupts good manners. There are certain people I hang out with, I will be corrupted. I will no longer love God. I will no longer do what God wants me to do. Why? Because I'm just hanging out with these friends who do things that I just want to hang out with them. Peer pressure. So I need to be careful. Secondly, the counsel from God's word is that I need to hang around people who fear God and keep His word. Alright? So these are two things you can do. Okay? After the forming of conclusion, we'll try to finish it quickly. Act on the conclusion. How do I act on it? From the friends that I have right now, we then use, okay, God says, hang out with people who help me grow. Don't hang out with people too much that will not help me towards Christ. So, from the friends I have now, I need to make a decision. Which ones will help me grow and which one will push me away from the world? I need to make a choice. Okay? Can I say this? The Bible is not a book of suggestions. The Bible is not a book of suggestions. The Bible is a book of instructions that will help us to change. It will help us to change. But we must apply ourselves to it and say, if the Bible said this, and I think this, I need to follow what the Bible says. So if God says, if you hang out with our non-believing friends that was going to push you towards the world, then I need to make a choice. And sometimes the choice is, oh, paisei, they've been so nice to me. Eh. But the world is always nice to those people who follow their ways. Think about that, huh? The world is always nice to those people who will follow their ways. You know, when Pontius Pilate, you know, King Herod, and who's the other? I think it was Pontius Pilate. It's Pontius Pilate and King Herod, they hate one another. They hate one another. But you know what? When it comes to the trial of Jesus, the Bible says both of them were very good friends. Because they were united against a common enemy, Jesus. Your friends of the world will always be good friends with you as long as you don't challenge them. But when you begin to challenge them, you will see the response. Okay? And that's something that is hard, I know, for some of us. But we need to make a choice. The goal is not to be unfriendly, but the goal is to care for your spiritual life. Okay? The goal is to care for your spiritual life. All right? Just like an athlete who is chosen to represent Singapore, very soon you find in the next 2 or 3 weeks his diet will change, his timetable will change, and he may not hang out with his friends anymore. And if his friends is understanding, you know what our friends will do? Hey, don't scold him lah. He's going to be training for Singapore and we need to encourage him. That's a friend. But some people will say, hey, why you think you represent Singapore? You're very big. That kind of attitude. It's like, you know, say, your friends may not understand you fully, but when we follow Christ, sometimes we need to make those decisions. We need to act on the decisions. Example, one of the questions for married people is this. One of the questions given to couples wanting to be married is, are you prepared to give up your singlehood? If you're not prepared to give up your singlehood, you're not ready to be married. Why? Oh, I asked you the question already. Because married life is about two becoming one. And you have to be willing to give up your friends and habits and things that will used to do. Anyway, I don't talk about that now. Not marital counseling now. But, you know, if not, you're not ready. You're not ready for marriage. It's going to tear you apart, okay? Okay. So after I made the decision, when my friends who will not encourage my spiritual life with Christ call me, I would just decide to go out with them less, you know? And I do not have to be unkind, say, I'm sorry, I can't because I need to go to church, I need to go to youth group, I need to whatever, okay? I can choose to ensure that I go with friends who will encourage my relationship with Christ. Okay? And after you act on a conclusion, very quickly, form a conviction. How do you form a conviction? Practice the principle regularly, and as you do, you will develop your convictions. Convictions in the Word of God can only be developed when we go through this process of reading, meditating, thinking through the Word of God, making a conclusion and acting on them. Many Christians do not have convictions simply because they have never studied the Bible, they have never seen what the Bible said, they have never decided to act on the Bible, and they have never decided to regularly go through it. And that's why we don't form convictions. And these convictions become the sum total of your Christian life. So for some people, it's okay to just not be faithful to church. Because they've never developed the conviction that church is God's priority. And I can show you from the passages that Jesus himself was regular at the place of worship at the appointed time. And if you look at Christ's example, and we form that conviction, your life will change, and you'll move towards Jesus Christ. All right? Any questions? Yes?
What about unsaved loved ones? You have no choice. They are your relatives.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
Family is a different kettle of fish. You need to reach them. You're still your family. You need to love them. So, that's another question. That you can. God actually have other ways of actually dealing with this group of people. But this one, friendship in general. Okay, relatives is separate. Sorry. It's an application that you make to yourself, like, okay? I want to look out for friends. I don't hang out with friends who are ungodly. Then I need to ask myself, am I an ungodly friend to someone else? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah? So, avoiding friends, the verse you mentioned just now was,
wounds of a friend.
Friend.
The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, yeah?
So, it applies both ways.
Correct.
Am I being a friend?
A fifth.
Am I, do I dare point something
correct. Or am I just kind of, okay, lah, you're nice, you're okay, don't worry about it, that kind of thing, kind of sign, okay. So, yeah. So it's very, very important for us to form the conviction. Because if you don't form the conviction, okay, you just remain constant in your Christian life, no change. Okay? Any questions? Any other questions?
So what
yes.
I mean was not immediate family, but extended family. You have no choice, cousins, or...
Oh.
You're not your immediate family.
Mm.
But because of friendship, because of relationship, these guys, children have...
Mm.
But then you know they are not good influence.
Okay.
But because of relationship, you have to mix around.
Okay.
So, because my thinking is, once I tell my children this,
uh-huh.
then they'll start going, oh, Papa, this cousin is not, that's why I don't want to mix.
Oh, okay.
And they start to talk. And then,
okay. Okay.
How do we bring this across?
Okay, can you frame that question? Frame the question by writing it like...
Relative friends.
Relative friends, okay.
Well,
okay.
Extended relatives.
Okay. Ethan, do you think... maybe just to... Before we finish, I'll come to your question. Ethan is going to... He's not collecting offering. For those who came a bit later, what we did earlier on was actually write some questions that you want answers to in your life. Okay, this is one of them. That next... Anyone has any other question, just drop it in there. You can frame it up. Maybe after you put it in. What we'll do next week, because of time, what we'll do next week is actually take maybe two of these questions... I'll do maybe two of them here, following the steps. And then for us to maybe go through one or two ourselves, all right, here. The key thing is at the end of the day, to be able to, for yourself, to go search out the answers yourself. Okay? Because there are thousands of questions. And if you can actually understand the process, you can actually apply that. Okay, answer your question. Sorry.
Sometimes the truth, even the Christian are not able to accept the truth. Yeah. Maybe they're not.
Yeah, that's why we need to prepare our hearts first. That's the preparation of the heart. Yeah. Oh, Ken, any final questions? Okay. Just let me know whether it's helpful, some areas you want to focus a little bit more on. By God's grace, 2016 will be a change whereby we want to do things God's way and seek the scriptures for itself. Okay, I cannot guarantee you, God has the answers to every question. You just have to go to Him. All right? Okay. Okay, what we'll do now, I'll close in prayer, but before that, those who have questions after this, just write down, put it there. Ethan, just go around. We've got another 3 more minutes. If there's no one, then just pass it back to me. Lah. Huh? Come, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are answering God, a God that gives answers to everything. Because, Lord, you are the all-knowing God. Any question in this life, Lord, that is framed, you already have the answer to it. And Father, not only that, you don't only have the answer to every question, Lord, you are the answer to every question. Lord, sometimes in life, we cannot find the answers, but we know that the answer is in our God, who doesn't make any mistakes. And that, Father, you are able to answer our questions in a way that will honor your name, beautify our lives, and help us to move forward for you. I pray that every one of us who are believers will have this confidence, Lord, that we can find answers to every question that we have in our lives. And Father, if there's one who has never trusted Christ, that they will be able to find too that Jesus is the answer. He gives the answer and He is the answer in every of life's situations. Father, we are thankful for the encouragement we can get. Bless this time with our fellowship before the service and encourage our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So if you have questions, just frame.